This is a segment from The Annex, an academic sociology-themed podcast. For more, visit us on the web at theannexpodcast.com. All right. So who wants to kick it off? Gabe?
So I have an item. The census announced that it's going to add a new question. And normally more data is great. And we always love more questions. And if we could, we'd burden our subjects for 10 hours as they, you know, told us what their favorite color is. But this is a question that has gotten a lot of pushback and people are unhappy about it because they're worried that it will depress the response rate. And not only that it'll depress the response rate, but that it'll systematically depress the response rate, basically for Latinos and Asians. And the question is adding one on citizenship. You know, so the question would ask, so I forget if they have the wording yet, but it would presumably be, are you a citizen of the United States? On the one hand, this is, seems like an interesting question to know. There's all sorts of things where you could imagine would be very interesting to know if someone's a citizen or not. Could it be correlated with different outcomes? Obviously, there's a direct connection to voting. But the problem with it is that, you know, there's plausible fears that this could depress turnout, that if people knew that the census would include a question on citizenship, they would be reluctant to answer the census for fear that it could somehow be used against them. Whether or not it's plausible on the part of the potential respondents, I think it is a plausible fear on behalf of people who care about data quality, right? That it is very plausible to imagine that it could, you know, depress, I almost said turnout, but depress response rates on the census among these communities by, I don't know, 5% or whatever, which would be a problem. And, you know, this is huge because in some ways the census is kind of the mother of all data sets. You know, not only is it a big data set in of itself, but also it's kind of the baseline against which we weight other data sets. This is, you know, a big deal, and it implies all sorts of things about, you know, at the most narrow level, it's questions of how many variables do you collect versus the quality of the sample, how representative is the sample. And then it also gets into issues of how, to a certain extent, what exists out there in reality is less important than how reality is rendered visible to the state and anyone using the state's data. So we can take those issues sequentially, if you like.
Well, for, I have a question. What's the rationale being given towards including the question?
One is that it's simply interesting to know. You know, I could easily imagine that if they do ask this question, that in 5 years, you'll start reading papers on in ASR talking about how, for instance, if you have families where some of the children are citizens and other children aren't, are the outcomes different for the children who are citizens? You know, you could easily imagine those sorts of questions. You could imagine analyses over the long term. You know, are there shocks to naturalization? Presumably, there's other data that counts that, right? We know how many people did naturalization ceremonies and that sort of thing, but we don't necessarily have all the covariates. We don't know how locally concentrated it is. We don't know how it's distributed by class or, you know, year of entry or whatever, or by ethnic group. It could just be a great social science variable. You know, I mean, I'm not a demographer, but if I were in a perfect world, I'd love to have citizenship. It's actually somewhat ambiguous how you apportion congressional districts. And it's not entirely clear. Apparently, my understanding from like election lawyers is that it's not firmly clear in case law that apportionment of congressional districts and electoral votes is supposed to be based on raw population, which is how we do it now,
right,
or if it's supposed to be based on eligible voting population. And the result is that you have widely varying voting size populations in different congressional districts. I mean, not massively, but, you know, maybe 10, 20% different from one to another. There was actually a pretty good paper on this in Sociological Science about a year or two ago, where I forget the author, but she looked at the range of voting districts, so the voting population versus the raw population over time. And she found that there's almost an equivalent to what, you know, before the Great Reform Act in Britain, they used to call the rotten borough problem, where you have some electoral districts have, you know, they get the same vote in Congress, they have much smaller voting populations. And so, for instance, here in Los Angeles, there's plenty of congressional districts where not that many people in them are citizens. And then there's other states where the vast majority of people are citizens. And so, you know, there's the same number of people in each congressional district to a very close approximation, but there may be very large differences in the number of citizens. And so congressional apportionment has to be based on the census. So if this question were used to apportion congressional districts, it would result in, say, California getting fewer congressional districts and, I don't know, Ohio or Utah getting more.
So I have a question. Is it against the law to lie on the census?
I think it is, actually.
Because if it's not, then I would just lie.
I think you should consult an attorney, not a sociologist, before.
So I think two of the things that I've been hearing about and reading about the addition of this question is that, number one, it actually is there. You know, these conspiracy theories. It is there intentionally to get fewer people of color, right? Because it seems a disproportionate number of our non-citizens in this country, me being one of them, are people of color. And so that would drive down the numbers on people of color, thus making America seem whiter again. And that's number one. And that number two, those individuals would be unwilling to, as Gabriel was saying earlier, to fill out the form. But the only thing that I remember seeing on the last census that I filled out was that I had to, by law, fill out the census, right? I don't remember anyone saying that I couldn't lie. Although, who knows, maybe I had to sign something at the end.
So you didn't tell at the last census that you have 17 toilets and a 4-hour commute?
I did not. I was truthful. But I'm saying, I mean, and we know this about survey data in general. There are certain types of questions that people just don't tell the truth about and take them at their word anyway.
I don't know. I kind of think the question of what is the intention is a little secondary. And I think we can agree that it is likely to have a impact on depressing response rate among non-native born people who, you know, are disproportionately from certain ethnic groups, even if it doesn't have that intention. And I think that we can kind of bracket that. And I understand why, because people are used to thinking of like this whole frame of voter suppression, you know, voter IDs, and are basically taking that whole set of conceptions and applying it to this new area. The big intention, if you're going to take an intention for it, is kind of a Hail Mary pass to reapportion congressional districts, which in the long run would matter far, far more than depressing response rates by 5% among this ethnic group or that ethnic group. But, you know, I see that as kind of political, and I was hoping we could focus on the more social scientific aspects of, like, what is the issue of, like, data scope versus data quality.
What's the disagreement that we can have here? Is the issue that you want to raise, like, are we not recognizing the potential payoffs of the additional information when we are also expressing worry about response rates? And you want to talk about whether or not there's like a trade-off?
I think there's a trade-off, and I personally think the trade-off's not worth it. Mm-hmm. I would rather have a higher response rate, especially because it's supposed to be a population enumeration, not a sample survey. Mm-hmm. So I would rather have a higher response rate and forego certain questions. I mean, there's all sorts of questions I would like to know.
Yeah.
You know, I recognize that there's certain questions that if you ask them, you're going to hurt your response rate. There's certain questions that if you ask them, you're going to have more measurement error than you do data. So let's, for the sake of argument, say that the census asked a question that said, are you trans or are you cis? The vast majority of people don't know what the word cis means.
Right.
And I would bet that probably a majority of people don't know what the word trans means. And so if you find out that 10% of Americans say they're trans, that doesn't tell you how many Americans are trans. That tells you how many Americans don't understand the question. There's always issues of how, you know, what you'd like to know versus what you can reasonably collect without creating even worse problems of measurement error or response rate.
Yeah.
Aren't the people at the census supposedly trained to factor these things in before they put items on the census?
Yes, but I think there's a certain amount of, I don't know the exact process, but I'd imagine that there's a certain amount of influence from political appointees and not just the kind of civil service demographers.
I mean, for me, it's just, this is the data set that we calibrate all the other data sets to. I understand your point. It's kind of interesting because I guess there are a few million people who are here illegally. And
the question doesn't ask, are you here legally or illegally? The question just asks, are you a citizen? And so presumably it wouldn't distinguish among non-citizens. You could very well be a authorized permanent resident or on a student visa or something, or you could be an unauthorized migrant and you would check the same no box.
Oh, that's interesting. It's a tough question. For me, anything that's going to depress response rates, like I'd like accurate counts, you know, accurate counts of how many people who lives there and like the basic demographic composition of the population. I don't think citizen, non-citizen is so crucial to the stuff that I would study, like stuff with people's money.
The irony is that we don't really use the decennial census for analysis. We use it for weights. And so something has to be pretty damn important. I would feel very differently about including this in the ACS, right? Yeah. If somebody wanted to include this in the ACS, I'd say, sure, knock yourself out. Why not?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, the ACS is what we really use for analysis. And so, and you know, they used to have it where they had they asked a lot of questions on the census. Then they switched to 90% of people get like a one-page census and 10% of people get the long form where it asks how many toilets you have and how long your commute is and what mode of transportation you have for your commute. And they were even phasing that out where now all the covariates are in the ACS, which is a very big survey by survey standards, but is small compared to the enumerated census.
Yeah.
It's a little strange to consider this so crucial that it has to be included in the decennial census. And honestly, the only reason I see for that, I could think of two reasons to include in the decennial census rather than in the ACS. A, you don't understand how data works. Mm-hmm. And you just think this is where we ask questions and you don't realize that the census is basically just for a count. And then the questions you want to know, the answers to are in the ACS. Or B, it's for congressional apportionment.
For more, visit us on the web, theannexpodcast.com.